Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today again is Father Thomas Blau. Father, it's so great to have you back.
Great being here.
Now, as you know, Father is a Dominican, a good, solid son of St. Dominic. Of course, the Dominicans are also so famous for St. Thomas Aquinas. Let's pray first, but I wanted to kind of pick your mind on St. Thomas today. But let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we lift up our minds and hearts to you this day. We ask that you illuminate us and guide us by the gift of your grace to a deeper love and knowledge of you through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, I was wondering, you know, St. Thomas writes a lot. I mean, and he's famous, of course, for the Tantum Ergo and Salutaris.
His Eucharistic poetry.
Yes. Yeah. You know, absolutely beautiful. You know, we should in some ways always associate Thomas with the Eucharist. At least I, you know, so often do. Of course, he has a lot to say about the Eucharist. So, you know, what are some, you know, what can St. Thomas teach us about the Eucharist?
He really, in his Summa, and across a number of other writings, he really teased out what we believe about the sacraments and why the sacraments. That whole thing from a couple shows ago about, I use the hamster and the plant. He doesn't talk about hamsters. He talks about animals and plants and humans and how they cannot, they don't have the possibility to reach friendship with us, and that we need help to reach friendship with God. We can know him by the human intellect, but it's very hard, but to know him. So he really teases out the thought lines behind the church's teaching. And I think my order has benefited because we stuck with Aquinas, and when a lot of confusion came up, very few of our men were distracted by some of the confusing theologians of the 20th century, because we just stuck with Aquinas. So Aquinas says at one point, what are the benefits of the Eucharist? Isn't that wonderful? Not only the benefits of the Mass, we tried to get into that last show, but the benefits of the Eucharist. And he goes through six. I think he's got six. Let me go through some of them. Yeah. One of them, the first is grace. We are given grace in the Eucharist. And so go back and look up what grace is. You can read that in the Catechism. Grace is the power of God. Grace is shown in the three theological virtues. Grace is the love of the life of God poured in us. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, where God begins moving in us, that all comes with grace, and that is a benefit of our Eucharist. The second thing is forgiveness of venial sins. A lot of people don't realize that the penitential rite works. It actually works, okay? And our venial sins are forgiven there. So I meet a lot of old people who are regular Mass goers, and they're not into serious matter with sin, and they don't know what to say. They go, I know I should go to confession more regularly. I know I'm a sinner, but I don't know what to do. And it's like, you've discovered the royal road to holiness. Mm-hmm. You're in an advanced state. You're not doing the serious stuff. They always get your attention. And your venial sins are forgiven at Mass. Let them go. So that's the second. Also in the Our Father. He says it's a renewal of goodness. Because we're touching, or he's touching us, God himself, the summum bonum, the great good of our life, there's a renewal of goodness in us. And so by going to the Mass, we kind of begin wearing away those elements of meanness, the elements of being so this world. There is a glory. There is an increase in glory, number four, beyond grace and forgiveness and renewal of goodness. There's glory. C.S. Lewis, who wasn't Catholic, he was on the road when he died, said that there are some people around us that if you were to see them spiritually, you would be tempted to worship them because they would be glorious. That's what's going on at Mass, even more than C.S. Lewis knew back then, that there are some people and they're so infused with the grace of God that the angels are awed by them. When they come walking in the room, a person in a state of grace, the angelic world trembles with fear or with amazement. And so we receive an infusion of glory whenever we participate in the Eucharist and receive the Eucharist. Two more. There is a certain protection from future sin. that comes from the Eucharist. That's why going to confession, if you're struggling with a deep-seated habitual sin of some sort, get into confession. That's like the plow. And then the covering that protects it, the Eucharist does that. And so it's a protection from sin. But also, if you've had any sin in the past, receiving communion and doing it well is reparation for sin. We make reparation for sin by going to Mass. And so, and by receiving communion in a reverent way for those times when we did not show love and concern and devotion to the Lord. Use Mass to make up, to atone for those irreverent moments of our life. So Aquinas really teases out these different benefits of the Eucharist.
Excellent. Thank you, Father. If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Father Thomas Blau of the Dominicans. We've been talking about St. Thomas Aquinas and the six benefits of the Eucharist. I thought, Father, I might pick your mind a little bit more on each of these. First, with grace, you know, that Thomas says that, one of the great benefits is the grace that we receive. What does grace feel like? You know, we talk about it as it's an important Catholic point in Catholic understanding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can talk about the theological virtues, the fruits and gifts of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. The other virtues that are kind of strengthened by grace, certainly, you know, all the other forms of grace. But, you know, do we have like a tangible experience of grace, or is this just a spiritual concept?
That's a great question. What I tell the first communicants, you know, you get the cute little kids getting ready to go to first communion, and they've had this preached at them that the Eucharist is so special and Mass is awesome, and they've gone through rote memorization of Mass parts and make the sign of the cross, not the left leg, the right knee. They've had the whole nine yeah. yards. And so they're expecting it to be like a fizzy pop. What's those fizzy little candies that mm-hmm. disintegrate in your mouth and like, shazam, wow. And they really do. They expect it. And it's kind of, for them, it's like almost a letdown of like, well, that didn't do anything. And so what I always tell them is God can do that. And there are some people, there's some of our great saints and some saints in the pews currently, and they really experience an infusion of the presence of God at Mass. Mm-hmm. So there is something like that. For me, my thoughts generally towards the end of Mass, after worshiping God well, is, okay, when's the next guy going to get up here, and do I have to get into confessional? And I was like, okay, where's my clock, you know? So, but for most people, it'll be like taking vitamins. The way you know vitamins have helped you is when you look back in 2020 hindsight, you're able to see the effects of them. Mm. And so with the Eucharist, I think that some people may feel something, but for the most of us, we're going to be able to look back and say, wow, how did I carry that cross? How did I do that? How did I, you know, you ask people who've been in matrimony, priests, faithful to our vocations for so long, how was I able to do that? The Eucharist. And that's when they start having that awareness of how it's making a difference in your life, you know, versus a fizzy pop, which mm-hmm. is or whatever those things are called, that explode in your mouth with flavors the moment you touch them.
Father, Thomas also talks about how the Eucharist really functions as an absolution for venial sin. And, of course, you know, you alluded to is the need to confess mortal sin, you know,
yes.
that there is a real need for that. And not to veer too much off onto the sacrament of confession, but maybe the relationship between confession and the Eucharist.
Sure. We always say, since the Eucharist is, you can say, it is our formal statement of allegiance and belief in the Lord. It is our worship of the Lord. It's giving Him our one and all. And if we've got a part of our life that is not, that needs to be formally forgiven, okay, in the way that He says it should, you know, for us, we may not feel like we have to go to confession, but remember, our spiritual life is beyond the emotions until they catch up. So if you have, we have something that's grave matter is serious sins. You can read the catechism, and it goes in quite well on what is serious sin. Stuff of the Ten Commandments, a lot of times. Then we need to go to the way God wants us to be forgiven. When you got a serious wound, you got to go to a serious medic, a serious doctor. And so the little stuff you can take care of on your own. So when you have a serious sin, what that does is it prevents you from entering fully into the worship. It prevents you from saying, I hear with all that I am, worship and adore you, Lord, through the worship of my people in the church, according to the covenant of Jesus. You can't say that because you have a whole area of you that needs to be reconciled. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in a relationship where someone's done something and it's never been reconciled, and you know this needs to be reconciled? You know, he took my bike and trashed it, and he never fixed it. He never addressed it. That needs to be reconciled. There's something in our relationship. The penitential rite at Mass gets us absolution, forgiveness for venial sins. But if there's serious sins, there's a glitch in the relationship. It needs to be addressed. And so that's how confession prepares us to do Mass well. It really, it's preparation. In the Orthodox world, I think, the classic capital O Orthodox Church, I think they have a Saturday night long penance service. Mm. Okay, they have that idea. They retained it, that you need to prepare spiritually for the reception of the Eucharist. Mm. And if you need to get to confession, go.
Yeah,
that's okay. You know, yeah. It's a good thing to do. So it means that after we receive a Eucharist, we go to the Mass on Sunday. The rest of the week is making sure that we're prepared to be able to receive Eucharist and go to Mass. Mm. Confession should be a part of that. Definitely do not beat yourself up if you need to get to confession before you get to reception of communion.
You've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today has been Father Thomas Blau, and until next time, peace and all good.